So this morning, we're continuing our series through the Gospel according to Mark. But before we dive right in, we're in kind of a unique situation right now where there's nobody in the sanctuary, and there are some things that I would like to show you and take you on a little journey with me through the church facilities. So if you would humor me a little bit, we're going to walk, and I'm going to take off my jacket because there's no pulpit, and the jacket's for the pulpit, let's be real. So I'm taking off my jacket. We're going to go on a walk. This is a little bit different. We're going to get creative here. So as we continue to look at the gospel according to Mark, we need a few things first to get our minds right around the gospel. But first, I'm going to need a little bit of hand sanitizer here. Okay, better to be safe than sorry, right? So make sure you rub that in all the way until it's dry. I'm not going to make you watch me do that. So here we go. First stop I want to show you this morning is our Missions and More wall. Okay, this is brand new. This is where we're going to have all of our missions material. All our beautiful, wonderful missionaries are right here. And then we've got resources for you. The upper room is here. And also our study guides. So week 3, Gospel of Mark study guide. This is going to be available online. So once you listen to this message, you can pull this up. Encourage you to go through this with your family, with your small group. You can meet, you know, via Zoom, however you'd like to do that, do a conference call, but encourage you to check this out, okay? Next, our Oikos cards, okay? They are available right here. We're going to need this a little bit later, so I'm going to hang on to this, and we'll get back to it. For now, come follow me. There's something else I'd like to show you. So chapter 1, verse 1 of the Gospel of Mark says, "The Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And that, we say, is basically the thesis statement of the Gospel according to Mark, where the first chapters 1 through 8 are summed up when Jesus asks his disciples the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And we know the story that Simon Peter speaks up and says, "You are the Christ." And that's the culmination of chapters 1 through 8, where they realize he's the Christ. And then from chapters 8 through 15, they're culminated with a Roman guard at the scene of the crucifixion when Jesus takes his last breath and he dies. The Roman guard seeing all that has happened around him, the earthquakes, the sky growing dark, and seeing him take his last breath, the Roman guard says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Summing up the second part of Mark, that he's the Christ and he's the Son of God. There's another way to split up the Gospel of Mark, actually. The Bible Project is a great way of doing this. And if you remember from Pastor Joe's sermon last week, I encourage you to check it out if you missed it. But he said, don't think of the Gospel of Mark as chronological. Think of it as geographical. Mark shows Jesus going on a journey to the cross. And so the Bible Project sums up the Gospel according to Mark in a wonderful video. We'll have a link that we'll share with you if you want to watch the whole thing. But they basically split it up into 3 acts, where Act 1 is there in Galilee, just chapters 1 through 8. They're in Galilee, and we're seeing who Jesus is, that he's being revealed as the Christ. And then Act 2, he's on the way. He's on the way where? To Act 3, to Jerusalem. And we know that arriving in Jerusalem means one thing for Jesus. It means he's going to the cross, and he went willingly for you and for me. And this reminds me of one more thing in our church facility. I'd like to take you to the chapel, which was built in 1950 and depicts a wonderful scene of the life of Jesus culminating in the cross and the resurrection. Let's go. Here we are in the chapel, and we have these beautiful stained glass windows that depict the life and the story of Jesus. And here we are, it starts at the far end over here. We see the birth of Christ and the Mother Mary here in this first window. Move on over here with me. That's the story, if you remember. He's in the temple as a 12-year-old talking with the religious leaders of the time and moving on to his baptism. And this is where the Gospel of Mark picks up. It just skips the first two. It's like we're starting at the baptism, okay? And if you see the top of the stained glass is the dove depicting the Holy Spirit descending as a dove. And then the Father speaks in the booming voice, "This is my beloved Son. With him I'm well pleased." And then it moves on to the ministry of Jesus, where he says, "Let the little children come to me, for to such as these belong the kingdom of God." And moving on, we're continuing the ministry of Jesus, the healing ministry. And then we come come to the Last Supper, where you remember he washes his disciples' feet as the servant king. And then he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father for strength because he's going to the cross. If you see it in that top panel right there. And then finally, the good news of the gospel, the culmination is the resurrection. That Jesus rose on the third day. He ascended into heaven. And with his disciples there, he said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." All right, I hope that little tour was helpful for you and a little bit fun. We're going to dive right into Mark right now. We're going to be going through, basically doing a review of all of chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open up with me to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to review it all the way to verse 35, where we're going to pick up this morning and go through till the end of Mark chapter 1. So we know in the beginning that John the Baptist comes on the scene. He's the first guy we see, and he's preparing the way for Jesus. He's saying, "Make paths straight. Get ready. The king is coming." So John, think of him as rolling out the red carpet for Jesus, preparing the way for him. He's coming. Get ready. Be done with your sins. Be done with that old life. The king is on the way. He's coming. Make your paths straight. Get ready for him. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus comes to get baptized by John the Baptist. And, you know, remember John says, "I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie your sandals, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Nope, you're going to baptize me." And so he does. And at that scene, you see the Holy Trinity appear, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. Remember in the chapel, the stained glass window, the Father speaking over his Son, his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. And Jesus the Son is there. And after his baptism, the Holy Spirit drives him out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, to confront Satan. And where Adam failed, Jesus overcomes. Jesus is victorious. And then after this experience in the wilderness, he comes out and he calls his first disciples. And he begins his preaching ministry, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. Repent and believe the good news." And so Jesus, he goes along, beside the Sea of Galilee, calls his first disciples, saying, "Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And then he begins his ministry, and he goes to Capernaum, to the city where Simon, who we know as Peter, is from. And as he's in Capernaum, he's teaching in the synagogue there, and the people were amazed at his teaching, because he's teaching as one who has authority. And then in the midst of his teaching at the synagogue, a person who was possessed by an evil spirit, the evil spirit cried out and said, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus says, "Be quiet," to the spirit. He says it sternly. He says, "Come out of him." And the spirit obeyed. And the evil spirit came out of him. And the man convulsed and he came out and he left. And the spirit and the people were amazed that Jesus has this authority. He has this authority in his teaching, and he has authority over evil spirits as well, over demons and unclean spirits, as Mark says. And so we realize, the people are realizing here that these evil spirits are craftier than people. They're smarter than people. They're deceptive and they're more powerful. And here's this guy coming along and commanding them to be silent and to get out, and they obeyed him. Pretty incredible scene that's happening here. And as soon as they left the synagogue where he was teaching, they went to the house of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law was very sick with a fever. Jesus healed her, and she got up and started to serve them. And then that evening, after sunset, we see that the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed in verse 32. And verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door. Okay, the whole town gathered at the door of Simon and Andrew's house. At the whole town of Capernaum. I mean, this was about 1,500 people in the first century. It was not a small town here. It was a pretty sizable town for that time. And all 1,500 of them showed up. Can you imagine that? Outside your door right now as you're sitting at home and watching this, the whole town shows up and they're crowding in to try to get a piece peace of Jesus, to hear him, to be healed. And at that time, Jesus was healing all who were coming. He was driving out demons as they were coming. It says he drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So he said, be silent and get out of them. And so that brings us to verse 35, where we're picking up this morning. So he's in Capernaum. They just had this whole experience at Simon and Andrew's house. This is very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up. So who knows how late into the night he was healing people and driving out demons. But he gets up very early in the morning, before the sun even comes up. And he leaves the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So he went out to the solitary place to go and connect with his Father, to go and pray and be still and get just away from the crowds and be with his Father. And I wonder, you know, as you're in your house right now, man, this is a unique time where you have a unique opportunity to be still with God, possibly more than ever before. And I encourage you to take that time and to be still before God. Go to a solitary place. You know, Jesus says, man, go in your closet, shut the door and pray, so that God will hear you in secret, and he'll meet you in secret, reward you in secret. So he goes off. You see, Jesus does this a lot throughout the Gospels. But his disciples weren't used to it yet. So we read that Simon and his companions, they went to look for him. So you can just imagine the scene. They wake up in the morning. Where's Jesus? He's gone, okay? He's just in this incredible display of power and authority, and he's gone. And so you can imagine the whole town scattering. Where's Jesus? Searching for him. And then when they found him, they explained to him, everyone is looking for you. You know, the underlying question beneath that statement is, why didn't you tell us where you were going? We're all scared and worried about you. Where did you go? And if you remember also the stained glass window of the scene of Jesus in the temple, if you remember the story of his parents that came for Passover and then they left, but Jesus stayed. And they were like, where's Jesus? They didn't realize, you know, they were with all their friends and their family. And so they came back, and it took a couple days to actually find where Jesus was. And he was in the temple. He's like, where else do you think I would be? I'm in my Father's house. And so Jesus was consistently going away to meet with the Father. He just wanted to be in the presence of the Father. So he went off to a solitary place. Everyone was looking for him. Verse 38, Jesus replied to them, let us go somewhere else. So he doesn't really even answer their question. He says, oh, we're going to go somewhere else now, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come. And Jesus is on mission. Okay, we're out. You're ready? Let's go. We're going somewhere else. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So you see, in the ministry of Jesus, there is healing, there is deliverance, and there is the preaching of the word. And you'll notice in what Mark is doing here, he's showing us that the spiritual world is far quicker on the pickup of who this is, who has come into the world. The demon in the synagogue said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And Jesus says, be quiet. Be quiet. I mean, you could just imagine if you had the spiritual eyes to see, as the demons did, the light of Christ, the Holy One of God that was on the earth, that was present with people. We can't see it with our natural eyes, but if you could see it with spiritual eyes, you would have seen this bright beacon that was on the earth, that the demons, they trembled and they fled and they obeyed what he commanded them to do when he told them to leave. He was driving them out. It was the light that was driving out the darkness. The Gospel of John makes that comparison a lot. The kingdom of light is driving out the kingdom of darkness. The light has come, and the darkness has not overcome it. So you get this picture with Mark here. He's saying, man, he's driving out demons. The light is here. He's come with power. Moving on to verse 40 here. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He touched the man with leprosy. He said, I'm willing, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured like that. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. He says, see that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead of listening to Jesus, verse 45 we read, instead, he went out and began to talk freely. Look what Jesus has done. He's cured me. He laid his hand on me and I was instantly cured of my leprosy. Guys, you have to go see him. If you've got a sickness, man, go see Jesus. You got to check him out. And so he went spreading this news directly, not listening to what Jesus told him to do. And as a result, we read, Mark says, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. So because this man couldn't keep his mouth shut about the good news that had happened to him, Jesus no longer could enter the towns and the villages because he would just get swarmed by people. So there's no place for him to lay his head there. So it says he had to stay out in solitary places, in desolate places. And man, when I was reading this passage this week, I was like, man, this is a pretty timely word from God for us, I think. I think the Holy Spirit has something to do with this because we're in a position right now. I'm talking to a camera right now, and you're at your homes. You're in solitary places. Something has shifted, right? Because a disease has spread. Just like the man who was spreading this news about what Jesus did, people have gone out and spread this virus, and so we have to like no longer gather together and be in solitary places. And so we're having to do church. We have to do ministry over video feed and using technology, which, man, we're so thankful for that we can do this. But the point of this is that the method had to change. The method of Jesus had to change. He could no longer go into the villages, into the towns. He had to stay out in these solitary places. But we read that last line in Mark 1, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So he had to stay out in these solitary places. His method changed, but the mission never changed. And you're going to see that throughout the rest of the Gospel of Mark. The mission of Jesus is fixed. It is pointed. His eyes are fixed on Jerusalem. He is fixed on going to the cross, on preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. Repent and believe in the gospel. So this morning, as we kind of close out, there's just two things I want us to take away. Two things I want to review that we can take away. And the first is to get alone with the Father. Like we said, in this time, you're in a position where perhaps you're having less contact with people than you've ever had before. I know that's true for me. And so this is a time where we can really connect with God. That God is with us. That Jesus says, he's given us his spirit to dwell in us. And that God the Father desires us to go and to connect with him. And so this time I encourage you, get alone with God. Go to a solitary place. Get alone with the Father. You might not have another opportunity like this in the coming months. And the second one I want to emphasize with us this morning, as Pastor Kerry Newhoff says, he says, our mission must be bigger than our methods. Our mission must be bigger than our methods. Church looks very different this morning, doesn't it? Our methods look very different. The way we're going to have to be connecting with people and reaching people in these coming weeks is going to be very different, but the mission is still the same. The mission is still the same. Jesus has called us to go and make disciples, to become maturing disciples, to go and make disciples, to share the good news with those around us. And so I want to encourage you this morning that though the methods have changed, you still have everything you need to reach the people that God is calling you to reach. You have everything you need to reach the people God is calling you to reach. And if you remember, I snagged this Oikos card on our way down the hallway. And this is one of those tools that will help you in your journey of reaching everyone that God has called you to reach. And there's five steps. We went through this through the month of February, but we want to reiterate this because this is becoming more critical today than ever before, as we want to be more intentional in our relationships with people and reaching out to people. And so step one, you remember, is to make the list of those 8 to 15 people under your oikos, your relational roof. Oikos is that Greek word that means household. It's your relational roof. those people that God's connected you with and calling you to reach out to. So you make that list, about 8 to 15 people on average, and you pray for them daily. And this time, I've set an alarm on my phone every morning at 10 a.m., pray for your Oikos. So you kind of go through that list, you think of those people God's put in your life, and you lift them up in prayer. And then step 3 is to invest. Invest in people. How do we do that now? The method probably looks different for us now. But we want to invest in people. Make a phone call. Pick up the phone. You know, do FaceTime. That's sometimes more personal. Be able to see the face of somebody else. Set up some meetings on Zoom, perhaps. One fun thing that my brother-in-law is doing, he's like, hey, pick a movie and let's watch it together on Netflix. So you kind of have a movie fun kind of date with some friends or family friends, and you watch, whatever, Frozen 2 together, and then you kind of chat about it afterwards. I mean, it's kind of, you experience it together, even though you're distant. But think of some fun ways. You know, Stacy had her praise dance party that she did this week. What a cool thing, okay, for families to be able to engage in this. So find, creative ways to invest in people, calling them and inviting them to join you in some of those fun things that you're doing that have to be a little bit smaller, or maybe a little bit using more technology now in today's world. So think of creative ways. We got to think outside the box a little bit in these next few weeks. And then finally, prepare. And that kind of brings us all the way back to point one of get alone with God. Prepare your heart with God. Prepare to be a better witness for Christ. Prepare by becoming a non-anxious presence, trusting in God, relying upon Him, going to Him in prayer. Prepare by being able to share your story with what God is doing in your life, how you're trusting in Him, how you're putting your faith in Him, that the cares of the world seem to be coming down upon us. But man, I'm trusting God. He's bigger. He's more powerful. He's with me, and He's got a plan. And so we want to trust in God in this time, especially in this season. And what an opportunity. What an opportunity to reach out to people as they're really being forced to be face-to-face with the reality of our mortality on this world. That tomorrow is not guaranteed. And so we want to be prepared by having our faith firmly fixed on Jesus, that He is our great hope. He is our great hope, our great Redeemer. He says, believe in the gospel. He says, believe in the good news. He has come. He has come. He's gone to the cross. He's laid His life down for us, and He took it back up again on the third day so that we share in His resurrection. Man, that's good news. Man, that's hope that the world needs in this time. So I encourage you, think through, be a little creative with it, and be intentional with this, because it's a great tool. It's a great resource that we can all kind of take a little bit more seriously in this time when we're having a social distance from each other. But know that even though we're having a social distance from each other, God is still right here. He's still right there with you, wherever you're watching this from. So let me pray for you as we close this service. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful of your great love for us. God, would you just touch each person in a special way this morning? Would you encourage them, strengthen them? Holy Spirit, would you give creativity? Would you fill people with your love and your generosity and your hope and your fearlessness and your power, God? Would we be a people of a great hope, of great love, of great joy that can't be taken away, that is residing deep within us because we know of your great hope. So God, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.